Contenders, ready! Gladiators, ready! 3, 2, 1! The Gladiators!
Welcome to this week's GladPod in association with Gladiators TV with darling David. You didn't know what I was going to call you this
No,
week.
Good alliteration, that is.
But I rather like it.
And of course, Jumping Jet.
Oh, thank you very much.
I couldn't think of
it. There was a very rude joke that Joe Pasquale, no, it was Tim Vincent actually did about that. Jump Jet. Anyway, oh, we should quickly move on, shall we?
Yes.
I couldn't believe I was actually sat there. I think I was part of a panel for a pilot comedy show. I was sat there going, how rude. But now it's nothing. But in those days, it's like, that's so rude. You can't say that.
I know.
Anyway, do keep emails and texts, any messages coming in with any experience you've had with any gladiator or even contenders that you've known or people that worked on the show back in the day, because we'd love to hear your stories. What's in the mailbag this week?
Yeah, we've had an email this week from Adam, I want to say Farina. It might be Farina. Anyway, back in 1991,
yes,
when I was 11 years old, Adam, won a fitness challenge in his school. The prize was that he'd get to represent his school, Blessed Thomas Holford School in Cheshire, at the World Aerobic Challenge in Manchester. I was part of the promotion for the challenge, as was Diane Udell. So we appeared together on TV for a news story, as the challenge was also raising money for the Rainbow Trust Hospice. He was big into fitness and had already booked tickets to see Gladiators filmed later that year. Through meeting at the Rainbow Trust Hospice, Diane arranged for me to go backstage after Gladiators filming. We met several times over that year. A lot of these people get to go backstage. Was it really easy to go backstage?
Paul, as a producer, Paul, you'd know all about that. Well, of course, if you're in the know and you know any one of us, of course it can be, you know, to be able to spend time with those that support and love. And I think even many of the big TV shows out there today, there'll be a system, there'll be a way. And I think for a lot of us, if we knew someone was going to be there, we'd then tell one of the runners or somebody else on production side, please keep an eye open for this person. Can I spend some time with them afterwards? Okay. No problem. Yeah.
Adam also was his partner in quotation marks at the World Aerobics Challenge, and you kept in touch via Gladiators coordinator Bill Hatterley, who was a darling gent and a kind man to a young boy who was having a time of his life being Jet VIP.
Wonderful. Oh, Adam, thank you for that.
He got to do the same again for the next season of Gladiators.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got pictures, news clips, and tapes from the whole everything if you need it.
Fab.
We'd love to see it.
Yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, definitely.
This exciting courtesy from Diane and the Gladiators brand significantly inspired me for my future years. And these are the messages that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam moved to the US at 18, eventually got a master's degree in clinical psychology. By coincidence, he's now seen that obviously it's what you're doing as well in terms of therapy.
Mm.
I volunteered in the US for health and fitness. I also taught swimming to disabled children.
Fabulous.
After 10 years, I moved back to the UK and set off to London, where I started my own entertainment event company. Since then, I've passed that business onto a PA.
Oh, we got excited then, Adam. Let's come and play.
Yeah.
Come and play with us.
And started a second career as a London firefighter. These emails that we're getting, just the curveballs and the tangents.
Wow.
After spawning from such a wonderful encouragement and being made to feel uber capable by being a fan of Gladiators and knowing Diane is such a wonderfully memorable way.
Oh, Adam, whoa, you are gladiatorial, completely in your spirit and in your passage of life. Please do get back in touch and come and have a chat with us.
Yeah, because a few people have sent us pictures, and I hear you always say, well, can I see that picture? And then straight away you're back to that moment.
Yeah.
And Adam, we don't have any pictures of any of this, so you do send us them all across, and I'll make sure I ping across an email. But if you have got anything you want to send us, you've got any pictures, and I should add that Producer Ball is like making this massive digital archive of different bits, so do send things, and we, you know, all find its way to a safe digital home. To get in touch with us, it's thegladpod@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This week's podcast, I was gonna say who it was, but actually, do you know what? I'll leave it up to Jet.
3, 2, 1.
This week, our guest, I'm very excited about this. It was, she came and she went, and she was as glamorous as ever she's come in today. This is Sandy Phoenix Young. Phoenix, one of our very first gladiators. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tiny little thank you. You're very cute. You wait, everybody. That's just a decoy right there. You've driven all the way down today to come and see us. And there's quite a story behind this because I met you before you became a gladiator. Is that right?
Certainly is.
You were doing, what were you doing?
Bodybuilding competition.
And you know, I'll never forget you. Did you have a red bikini on?
How can you remember that?
I can, because I remember you did something. You were on stage. You looked amazing in superb condition. And you pulled something out of your bikini pants. And there were sparkles. It was glitter. And props. What a great idea. So welcome, Sandy Phoenix Sparkly Young.
Thank you.
What made you start? Is that how you got into all of this and how you became a gladiator?
Well, I just had a little boy. And I wanted to tone up. So I went to a gym, and that lady was a Miss Universe. And she got me training, and she said, I think you've got the right attributes to do well in the bodybuilding. And I said, okay. So she trained me, and I entered my first competition, and it spiraled from there. As I got titles, like Miss UK. Then I got noticed. I was in the magazines, and I got noticed in the magazines. And then I was contacted through the magazines by London Weekend Television. Would I like to audition? Yeah. Of course.
Did you know the concept of gladiators, though, before? Because the Americans, had you seen the American show? Did
never.
You know anything?
No. I know we were supposed to be playing games, but I never realised. I didn't understand the magnitude of what we were getting into. A little bit naive. And I think what brought it home was when we were standing in, I think it was the NIA. Was it the NIA?
Yes.
And we were supposed to be standing behind tables. You were standing next to me, and they let the crowd in, and we got trapped up the wall. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, actually.
We were panicking. Like, they all came in. We were like, whoa. It was mad. Absolutely crazy. It was only then I realised the magnitude of the show and what it was going to become.
There's Nikki, who'll have to face the firepower of Phoenix, who'll be launching tennis balls at over 100 miles an hour at her. Phoenix, an expert Thai and kickboxer, represented Britain in the Miss Universe competition.
And how did you feel coming into it from a bodybuilding background when you had other gladiators like Jet, who came from a gymnastics background, so probably would be more naturally good at these games? But then, having said that, it was clear that they were looking for a certain look, weren't they?
I was a mixed figure competitor, so I wasn't really a bodybuilder. No, yeah. I was a mixed figure competitor, more that way, figure and fitness champion. Mm-hmm.
And that was really early then, though, because that was very new to this country,
very
too.
New. Yeah.
And yeah, coming in, seeing those events, you must have thought, well, actually, you said you knew you'd be playing games, but these are extreme games, aren't they?
I was like, whoa. But I'm quite a physical person anyway. I was a bit of a tomboy as a child. Used to fight all the boys. So I didn't mind the physical. I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Proper rough and tumble.
Yeah,
did you have any athletics background, though, of any sort before? Because that was a be a shock to your body to be thrown into the
Really.
Arena.
I was very fit at school. I was excelled at school, at sports. I was the fastest runner in the school. You know, everything I took part in at school. So it wasn't no contest for me, really. Not really.
And what about the test to become a gladiator? Did you just sail through those as well?
I beat them all nearly. I was at the finish line before any of them.
Where were your tryouts?
London. Yeah, in London. It was for the army?
Was it the Woolwich Barracks?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, we were all going, we are.
Pretty much, yeah.
Brilliant. I think there was Saracen, Shadow, and I can't remember. It's been that long.
Producer Paul is nodding avidly and pointing at me. It just goes to show, though, David and I were talking earlier about that for the very early days. I think we're all so like bunny in the headlights. You know,
that's right,
we weren't really aware of who was around us.
Young and naive.
Yeah, I can actually remember Gabby Yorath, who is now Gabby Logan. She was also in that casting, and she went on to become obviously TV and sports presenter. Right. I do remember her because I'd worked with her a little bit in other things. So it just seems a bit of a blur when
when you think back now, is it still a bit of a blur for you? Or is it?
Yeah, there are parts that are a blur. I don't remember some of the parts, but the good parts I remember.
Come on then. Let's get into those.
Come on then.
Parts.
What do you want to know?
Yeah. So when we were in the arena, we were all taken to train down under the arena, which is quite interesting because in ancient gladiatorial times, you'd be under the arena as well, you know, shivering in the sight of your death. But we just had to train up on the apparatus. How did you get on with that? Because I was useless.
Fine. Absolutely fine.
I think what Sandy's saying here is that she just smashed everything.
Yeah, I'm not joking. Everybody that knows me knows I'm a sporty person anyway. I really am. I mean, I used to do Thai boxing. Boxing and, you know, I was a boxer, so, you know.
Well, when it comes to the events, was there one that you had a particular affinity with to begin with, or were there some that you had to sort of grow to love?
I couldn't get my head around Atlaspheres because I'd lost that much weight. When I wasn't eating and I lost that much weight. I was so tiny that I just hadn't got the...
Because they were heavy, they weren't they? Producer Paul, what were the what was the weight of? Do you know what the atmosphere? They were years, but they were. I think they did put a figure on it. I mean, there was a big, massive,
huge
metal cage.
Yeah, they were huge.
He's googling it. But they were quite a weight, and for a tiny little light thing. Yeah,
I'd lost that much weight that there's no way I could move them.
I think it was only the mighty warrior who could actually steer those things around. And Panther actually for the girl, she was really good in them.
I just lost too much weight. The weight because my metabolism was really fast then.
Next it's Rambo's favourite, the rocket launcher. Goes a little low, heads for the cylinder, but it's a hit. Phoenix picked her off, the whistle's gone, but Nikki delighted with her 4 points. That was so fast. Let's see where Phoenix got her as she leaves the rocket launcher. She keeps low, but Phoenix wings her arm. Phoenix proving to be a hot shot Top Gun. Looks like she's got a few young admirers in the audience. They salute her with their glad hands.
So talk to me now about your name, Phoenix. Did you like it?
They chose the most perfect name for me. Yeah, there's a story behind it. Well, I was a little girl. My nickname was Brevet, which means in the Black Country, somebody keeps messing and has to keep poking the nose in everything and having a look round.
Brevet.
Well, yeah, Brevet. Well, my mum had this coal fire and I had this crimpling nightie on.
What is it called?
Crimpling.
Is that like a cotton or a polyester?
No, it's like a polyester. Really horrible, Diane. Itchy. Horrible.
Static.
Yeah, very static. And my mum was cleaning downstairs, like with an old-fashioned brush going downstairs. And here I was looking in all the pots, looking for pennies. And then all of a sudden I looked down and my nightdress was on fire.
Oh, no.
And the flames were coming up. This is what I told the producers at the time. And my sister started to scream. My other sister went to scream for my mother. My mother came down the stairs. I just saw all these flames. They were up here. And my mum just grabbed my dressing gown and ripped it. She told me to put my arms up in the air quickly. Mm-hmm. And she ripped it off.
Of course.
And I'm going to get upset now. All her hands are like blistered, badly blistered. She didn't care. She just grabbed onto me and held me so tight. All my eyelashes are gone. Mm-hmm. It had burnt all my hair. It was awful. But all I remember is lying on my mum's chest and her holding me and rocking me on the chair and just seeing her burnt hands.
Oh, bless you.
So, yes.
Show on the road. Over to John Sachs.
Thanks, Ulrika. After three events in the women's contest, Nikki is leading Vander by 9 points to 1, and jumping up against them will be Phoenix. Phoenix, our expert Thai and kickboxer, plenty of spring, and has proved to be a real high flyer.
And you told the producer, was that Andy Norgay?
I did. And then they came with the name Phoenix. I was like, wow.
Isn't that lovely, though? They really heard you in that.
They really heard me, yeah. It was really apt, but that's perfect name. I don't think I could have had a better name than that. Yeah.
And did you rise from the ashes in your time on this show?
Of course.
Let's go back to that. So what was it like when you were in the arena and we started training on the events and there was little things like you going and trying in your cosy on for the first time?
It was surreal, really. It was quite surreal trying them all on because it still hadn't sunk in, really, what was about to happen. I think we were all quite naive, really.
This is it. I think when you're training down in the arena at the lot beneath the arena, it wasn't until they started bringing the rigs into the arena and we'd go up onto the shop floor and go, oh, my gosh, the size of that.
Oh, gosh.
And what was that like for you?
I was excited but a little bit scared until we started actually playing the games, like, what was it called? You know, the elastic bands that we jumped on? Oh, my God.
Swing shot.
Oh, couldn't keep off that.
Yeah, you enjoyed that one, did you?
I was told to get off. They couldn't get me off.
Phoenix, get off.
Wait a minute.
Drag her off.
5 more minutes, please. Yeah, that was fabulous. I love that game.
Phoenix and Flame will make like Tarzan and Jane and block them out of the game.
3, 2, 1.
Swing out sisters. They fly through the air with the greatest of ease. Jenny and Karen both picking off in yellow. A yellow there, that was crafty. Karen gets a yellow, that's 1 point. That's how you do it, all the way to the penthouse. Comes the fly to the Phoenix. Oh, she blocks her out. Body checks Karen out of the blue. Remember, gladiators cannot kick or aim headshots or strip balls from the cylinder.
So, Sandy, for you, what was the most challenging part of being a gladiator?
It needs the attention, I think. Couldn't go anywhere.
Particularly being a Midlands girl as well,
yeah, as
because
well,
it
yeah.
was the home of gladiators,
yeah,
wasn't
so
it?
Yeah, so it was hard because all that changed. Like, I'd be fucking Tesco's. Sorry, can I mention Tesco's? I'd be in Tesco's and people would be looking at me and be like, what are you looking at? Oh, yeah, I've forgotten.
Yeah. You know,
and they'd be watching me and they'd ask for autographs while I'm trying to pay for my shopping. It was hard. And quite hard. And so did my little boy at the time. I tried to go to, like, normal things that families do, like a bonfire night. I took him to a bonfire. I went to the bonfire and all the children just dived on me and knocked my little boy out the way. So it was so... And he'd be there like this, you know. So, you know, but I had to, like, sign autographs and take photographs of the children because there's hundreds of children there and, you know. So it was really, really hard.
That is a very difficult position to put you in as a mother. And your heart does go out to Lee as well. But there were some positives as well, weren't there, for having your mum as a gladiator?
He did, with all the girls.
Because he was 5, wasn't he, when you first started? So he must have been seriously doted on by the others.
He loved it. Yeah, he did. He loved it, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, he did some of the PAs with you as well. So it would have been nice for him to have had, you know, his mum at home, but then you go out in the public and there's sort of a different persona. There's the Phoenix persona as well, you know. Same with Di, I guess, when she goes out and does stuff, there's always the hair flick.
I want to do a hair flick.
Actually, talking about hair, something I read about you, did you like yours?
No.
Oh.
I used to cry, excuse me, I used to cry almost every night in my room about my hair. I never took my helmet off in the arena. Because when I did, it was the shape of the helmet. Because they gave me this, like, afro. It didn't move.
Mm.
I hated it. So I only took my helmet off when we went backstage.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Was that there? They said, we want to keep it as a fro.
Yeah, I hated it.
Oh,
I hated it.
And you felt like you had no say in that.
I wanted to flick my hair like you.
Yeah.
I couldn't flick that.
I loved it. For the record, Sandy, I was besotted. I looked at you sometimes and think, wow, you're so, so beautiful and such a good athlete and you're such a wonderful presence in amongst the team and in the arena. So, obviously, how did it affect the rest of your family? Have you got siblings and what are your parents and aunts and things like?
Yeah, my family loved it. They all came to watch me and, you know, with the big hands waving them about.
Those big hands were pretty iconic, weren't they? Did you get to keep stuff like that? Did you get one? Do you still have it now? Do you keep it?
Yeah, I've still got mine. Your signature's on it.
Honestly. I must find mine from somewhere and get yours. How many pairs of your costume? Because you had 2 pieces. You only got the one.
I got one costume and the armbands.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the jacket. Did you get the jacket?
Yeah, I've still got that.
Diane, sorry. Did you get the jacket?
Yeah.
With the leather? Yeah?
Yeah.
My name on. Yeah, I've still found it out the other day.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
I was so happy. I was going to bring it with me, but I thought...
Weapon 2 is the bazooka. Oh, look at that. Phoenix hit the cameraman. There goes her close-up to the rest of the series.
I'm going to ask you about a couple of the other events. Let's go to the wall, because you were also very quick on the wall, like a couple of us as well, particularly from the beginning, because until you got your route sorted, it was a bit slapdash, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a bit.
Which was the left side or the right side that you liked?
I prefer the right.
Did you? I like the left, you see.
I prefer the right side.
Yeah.
And here they come. So Phoenix will home in on Jane, and Jet will be looking to take Lisa down. And Jane making a good job up there, but look at Jet. She's already on Lisa's leg. And now the battle begins as she tries to pry her off. Remember, she must stick to that wall. She loses contact. Look at the splits there from Jane trying to avoid Phoenix. That looked painful. And look at Lisa still hanging on. Phoenix moving in on Jane, and she whips her off that wall. No points there, and look at Jet takes down Lisa. A double takedown. Contenders and gladiators lowered down on their safety harnesses.
And hang tough.
Yeah, I'd lost that much weight that I hadn't got the weight to pull them off.
She's got her back to Phoenix. Rule one, never turn your back on a gladiator. Well, I don't know about hang tough. This is more like hang loose at the moment. I think Phoenix may have left her attack too late. Here she comes. She's caught Nikki, but she's out of time. Takes it down, but Nikki picks up five for hanging tough.
Before speaking with you today, Sandy, I wanted just to go back and remind myself and just focus on you and on those events in Series 1. And actually, watching you and Hang Tough, especially at the beginning, it was quite a challenge for you, wasn't it?
It was very challenging. You had to have some weight to get there, especially if the contestant was heavier than you. Some games that we excelled on and some that not so much.
But yeah, to your credit, as the series went on, you got better at it, didn't you?
It was all new to all of us. Yeah. So we were all learning, still learning as we were playing the games. We were all learning still.
And actually, before we move on, one final question about Lee that I've just remembered I had to ask you about. Didn't he sell pictures of you at school?
He did, yeah. He says, take them. Mom, he signed this for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I found out, I had a letter from the school. He was selling them on the playground.
So they were slapping your wrists?
Yeah, yeah, I had a letter from the school, yeah.
He's entrepreneurial spirit from an early age.
Yeah, little businessman.
Well, either way, I think we can all agree that Lee was being very entrepreneurial there. You can imagine him definitely going to Dragon's Den and pitching that as a money-making idea. I think I definitely want in on that. But with the fans, when you're out meeting the fans, do you think some were wary of approaching you? Because for me, I always felt like you had this kind of moody persona. Or do you actually think they actually quite liked that? Or do you think actually that they knew it wasn't real, it was all for show? Basically, what I'm trying to say, do you think you put people off?
I don't know. I think everybody that I met were nice, and they were just happy to meet one of us, you know, and to one of us. So, no, I never got that feeling at all. Don't know. I think it made my character. I didn't like it. I wanted to be all happy. And I did say to someone about it, then I get worried that people are going to like think, oh, she's moody.
Maybe people just knew that perhaps it was just a persona, or maybe you weren't as moody as I'm suggesting you were. But when it came to some of the PAs you did, we've heard from some of the other gladiators about some that they've done, like bingo halls and leisure centres and blockbusters and stuff like that. Just talk me through some of the ones that you did.
I did a bingo hall. I did a PA, I think it was with Shadow, and we actually went in a helicopter. That was fabulous, scary, but I don't remember a lot. That's all I remember. It's such a long time ago.
Well, one story that I'm pretty sure you'll still remember now, and I've only learned about this recently, is the story of the dying boy whose final wish was to see you, Phoenix.
Adam Fennell.
Was that the hospital in Birmingham, the children's hospital?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that all come about? How did you find out? Was it a letter?
A letter that he was dying, which upset me. And he wanted to see me and Warrior, and we granted his wish.
Yeah, and what was it about yourself and Warrior that he liked?
I don't know. Everybody had their favourites, didn't they? Yeah. And he just wanted to meet me and Warrior, so we granted his wish.
And that must have been hard because you were a young mum yourself at the time.
It was hard, but his mum got in contact, sent the letter to London Weekend, and then they passed it on to me and Warrior, and we went to see him, yeah. Got the pictures. You got the pictures, haven't you? I went to his funeral as well. I was the only gladiator that went.
Yeah. Good goodness me.
So I went there. Touched me. I've never forgot him.
Do you still get recognised today?
Oh, yeah. All the disguises I have, and yes. Especially when my hair's dark.
And how do you like that? Or, you know, how do you feel about that? Is it intrusive?
Want the truth?
We always want the truth.
Okay, I'll give you the truth. It's only up until recently that I don't mind. Because after the Gladiators ended, I didn't want anything to do with showbiz. I didn't want anything to do with it. I didn't want anybody asking me any questions. Leave me alone. And I think in the end, people realised that I didn't want to talk about it. I talked about it that much. I didn't want to talk about it anymore. It's gone. It's linear. It's past. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone. And to be quite honest, I was quite hurt by the way I was treated. Mm-hmm. And not only me, two others. So I didn't want anything to do with it. I was asked to do the legend. They couldn't get in contact with me, but they remembered Lee, my son. So they contacted my son. And he said, Mom, do it. I went, no, I'm not doing it. No, I have nothing to do with it. No. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't anyway. I was too fat. I just had my boy. But no, I'm happy. I like my enmity. Leave me be.
And you had you not been in that condition, because if you were in condition and you were kind of doing some sort of fitness regime, would it have been different? Would you have said yes? Good for you.
I just wasn't. I didn't want anything more to do with it. I just had enough. That was it. It's gone.
Yeah.
And it's only if anybody ever spoke to me. Oh, dear. But I've got over that now. I'm past all that now. So now I can talk about it. People are starting to approach me now. I don't bite the head off. and talk to me about it. And so they'll ask me questions about it. So, and I don't mind so much now. But it took me a long time to, if you can understand, I just didn't want anything to do with it. I gave up my
singing. It's like anything, though, isn't it? If something hurts you sometimes, it takes you a long time to process.
And not only did it hurt me, it hurt my family, you know, because people... I'm glad I didn't have social media then. That we didn't have social media then because, you know, if I got any nasty comments, they were locked in my face or on the street. But I don't know how I would have coped. It was hard then. And my family as well got stick. And it was hard then. But if that happened today... Whoa.
So just talk me through how it all ended for you on Gladiators. I mean, how did you find out that you weren't coming back for Series 2?
A reporter.
Really?
Yes.
At your door or your door? Well,
on
what?
The phone. Don't ask me how they got my number, but a reporter.
That's heartbreaking.
It was really hot. Also told me at the same time that Flame, Kimbra and Hawk weren't going back. So I got on the phone.
To LWT.
To LWT. And then I spoke to Kimbra and she said, I've been on the phone. I got on the phone to see... Bill
Hettersley was a chap assigned to us to be a sort of agent really,
yeah,
and distribute out the PAs, because obviously lots of people were going, oh, I want a Gladiator for this, or this. And so he was kind of apportioned that role. He had a background in TV, I think, as well, and done some agency type work. So you actually are on the back of that.
Yeah.
So the cat's out of the bag. This reporter's let it go. I mean, how on earth? I don't know how that process works in TV, that actually a reporter gets that job rather than you being told by the company itself. Did you get hold of Bill Hettersley then?
Yeah, I did. And he said, you need to speak to, what's his name, John, the executive?
John K. Cooper.
And I got on the phone to him and he said that we sat around a table and I voted for you to come back and certain other people didn't. So what could I do? Couldn't do a lot, so.
Did you give a comment to the Sun reporter at the time?
I was just shocked and really upset, to be honest with you, at the way it was all handled. I didn't think it was fair, really.
Is that because you thought you were coming back?
Yeah, we all did. Mm. All of us did. I mean, I don't think anybody should have been axed or not had their contract renewed after a year. I think, you know, it took us about a year to get used to everything, the limelight and the games and everything. So I think they could have at least given us a bit more time. But the one thing they can't take away from me is I was an original Gladiator.
That's right.
I was an original.
So how was it in the days, the weeks, the months after this, particularly as the others were gearing up to start for Series 2?
I tried to watch it. I did try to watch the programme. I did a bit, but I just couldn't. It hurt so much because I knew I had the right to be there. I should have been there. I was unbeaten on two games and it hurt too much. So I just stopped watching it. I just didn't want... Once I'd gone, that was it. I just thought, that's it. It's gone. Leave it alone.
Did you watch any of the other series?
No. I watched it for a while and then nothing. I think Paul's mentioned one and I haven't even watched it yet. And that's not because I don't want to, because I will now. I haven't had time. I will.
Paul, did you want to come in and say what you're... Because you fell in love with the show from your dot, from the very, very, very beginning. And, you know, on listening to Sandy's story now, how does that make you feel? Because you fell in love with every aspect of it.
Yeah, well, I think I was absolutely gutted when Sandy left, because, like you say, she was one of my favourites in the very first series. And you'd kind of been at Wembley Arena and done massively well on the new games. Like you said, two unbeaten on Tilt, and I think the other one was Suspension Bridge, which were very kind of difficult games to kind of do and stuff. So yeah, I was just gutted to not have you there and kind of see your character and your kind of gladiator skills progress onto the next series.
Yeah.
Especially because the games kind of, as they went on, you got to kind of see the gladiators' personalities a lot more, whereas in the first series, they kind of didn't really interview the gladiators as much and things like that. Whereas I think if they could have let you show that side of your personality, it would have really kind of showed the fans what you were really like as a person as well. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah,
massively gutted.
I love that game, you know.
Which
Suspension
one?
Bridge.
Suspension Bridge, yeah.
You're probably one of the only ones.
I loved it. Do you remember standing backstage, Eureka and John Fashion, who were standing there, and I was ready to go on. Didn't know who my opponent was. Didn't care. Tomboy, you see.
Tomboy.
And Eureka said to me, have you seen your opponent? I went, And? She looked like Optimus Prime. He was huge. She was about 6'4". I swear, and I just thought, you know, and I said to Eureka, watch and learn. And we got up there and my helmet didn't fit. I think someone gave me the wrong helmet. And I had to keep holding it up to give her, you know, to play the game. And I kept trying to shout down to the referee, look, my helmet. And the girl hit me in my ear and I saw red. Oh, dear. And I battered her to a pulp, I'm sorry. And I knocked her off. I got her off. I battered her to a pulp. I really did. And I was so angry because you could see my helmet didn't fit. And actually, I got injured. I'm deaf in my right ear because of that. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I remember that now. Do you remember? Back in memory,
went to hospital?
Yes, that you were quite poorly afterwards. Yeah. Like, yes, it had been perforated.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because of the kind of the whack and the hit of the metal, of course, the yeah. suction, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like in the helmets, I remember, mm-hmm. yeah.
But I didn't care because I got her off. 6'5", and where am I? 5'8", just under 5'8". I was about that.
Were you the smallest?
Yeah, I was the smallest in the end, yeah, because I lost so much weight.
You had nice height on you, but you were tiny.
Yeah,
you were
I went really tiny.
Foot broad, if that.
If you look at the pictures, there's a picture of us in the NIA, and I'm so scrawny. But when we started, you can see how much weight I've lost. Mm. I think I was about a size 4. I went down to a size, from a size 10 to a size 4.
Is that because you'd not long given birth to your first?
I think it's because my metabolism. I had a really fast metabolism because we were playing all these games and we were like, we worked out a lot. And the stress of it all.
It was stressful.
I am going to be honest, and it was very, very, very stressful. And I don't work well under duress. I work better when I'm left alone and get on with it. So if I'd have been left alone, been fine. But the stress, I stopped eating. I wouldn't eat. I remember sitting in the dining hall and
watching us look like hogs.
Yeah. And I was sitting there going, and then, you know, the referee, John Anderson?
Yes.
Eat that. You better eat that. Or you're not going to eat that food. Okay.
Oh, bless him. Okay. He spotted it then.
Yeah,
did he
spotted it and made me eat. And I just couldn't eat. And I'm going to tell you something else now. I was sitting there eating on my own. I think everybody had finished. I was still there, you know, trying to finish my plate of food. And Warrior was in the room and I got a piece of food stuck in my throat and I started choking. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be alive. I won't be sitting here now.
Oh, Micah Hearn, Warrior.
Yeah.
And this is Chrissy's favourite event. She says she feels very confident up there and she'll need to be. Phoenix can do this event with her eyes shut.
So let's come to your relationship maybe with some of the other gladiators. Yeah. Was there anybody you felt like you had an affinity with on the boys' or the girls' side?
Cobra.
Yeah.
So funny. I've spoken to him recently.
Did you?
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
He's still a funny guy. That's just it.
I know. I've got his number and we've had a chat. I was going to go and see him. I will see him at some point. But he's 3.5 hours away from me. But he's a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean really nice guy. I do like him. And I got on really well with Flame and I got on really well with Lightning. John Fashion, who I love. He's the most, he's a gentleman.
Mm.
I loved him. He was always professional, always kind to me. I just remember him as being a really nice, kind man. He was absolutely lovely. I got loads of pictures.
Loads of pictures.
Yeah, but I really did like him. Nearly 30 years since I've spoke to you, hasn't it, Diane?
That's right.
And is that just because you separated yourself from the show and from the rest of Gladiators?
I just didn't want to linear. It's past. Don't, nothing. What's the point? I'm not going to hold on to it. Move on. That was my motto, anyway.
Do you know, I think a lot of the glands, from what I've had little conversations with, mm-hmm. and even myself, for about a good 4 years after I came off the show, I wanted to disassociate. A lot of them are saying that for there's like a decompression period where you just don't want to be associated with that anymore because you have to get back to you.
Normal self, you have to get back to being you, And then it took me a long time to get back to me.
Yes, it can do.
It took me a long time.
And now there's a kind of an ease about looking back at the memories and doing what we're doing here as well. We're all beginning to go, this was just such an iconic time.
Like, of course, we're closing in on the 30th anniversary now, and it'd be interesting to see what plans, if any, come forward for that. But one thing, Sandy, that always gets brought up is bringing Gladiators back again. Would you like to see Gladiators return?
That'd be great. I'd give them some stick.
Spoken to Paul about this because, like,
I thought, because I'm quite, I didn't know who he was when he contacted me. I was like, no, I'm not doing. He says, no, I'm real. I'm legit. Honestly, I am working for the Gladiators. I was like, whatever. No, I'm sorry, because I didn't trust him. I've had bad experiences with people trying to contact me. I had a guy writing a book on me. I said, you don't even know me. How can you write a book about me?
What, like an autobiography or something?
Yeah, a fan. You don't even know me. Leave me alone. If I'm going to write a book, I'll write my own book. Leave me alone.
I was quite rude. I'm so sorry, Paul. I was so rude to you, wasn't I?
I think, do you know what? I think Paul's made a pretty stern stir.
Well, to be in this business, you have to have a thick skin. I know that much, so.
Well, you forgive me, didn't you? So I'm so sorry. Oh, no, thank you.
But you would like to see it come back?
Yeah, we'd be doing it in Zimmer frames, though, wouldn't we? Wouldn't be so physical. We've all got injuries. I mean, I've got frozen shoulders.
Sandy, I'm not talking about you doing Gladiators. I'm talking about having like a new breed, a revival, a new show. But kind of leads on to my next question, really, is that do you think you could come back in some kind of coaching role?
It's an idea.
It's actually an idea. I'm just sort of thinking, like, you know, like, oh, in The Dark Crystal, one of my favourite films, you know, how the Skeksis and the Mystics, they kind of fuse, they're two parts of one.
Yeah.
So we could all mentor a younger version of ourselves. Yeah.
But I don't know how the fans would take, because they tend to veer towards the originals, don't they? I think they'd like to see the originals.
I know, but
back.
There's a lot of strength in youth, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. People like a young face. But you know what I'm trying to say? There's a lot. Yeah. Don't change anything.
Yeah, what did you make of the Sky? Did you see the Sky version of Gladiators when it came out?
Oh, sorry. No. You did tell me about this, didn't you, Paul? And I did say, yeah, I haven't had time yet. I keep seeing it when I've got my Sky on. Uh-huh. I'll watch that later.
I'll turn it over.
I'll watch it later. No, I will watch it now. I know they're all new, aren't they? And I will make a
They were fab, wonderful athletes. Yeah. All of them are selected for them. Because, of course, training, functional training and becoming a better athlete by then in sports science and our knowledge of training.
Yeah.
Had started to improve that much more. So as a team, I felt as individual athletes, they were absolutely phenomenal. But the show itself, you'll make your own mind up.
Yeah, I will watch it.
Some ingredients were missing.
Yeah.
So Sandy, if we could turn back the clock, would you do Gladiators all over again?
Yeah. If I could be as wise as I am now, then yeah, I would. Mm. I was young and naive.
Is that because you feel like you've got unfinished business with Gladiators?
Oh yeah, I think if they'd have given all three of us a chance, I think they'd have seen, you know, after the respite, we had the summer off, was it the summer? And I think we could have, you know, I could have put my weight back on and it would have been different when we came back to film, totally different.
Was that one of the reasons they gave you? Sorry to go back to that.
One of the reasons that I read in the paper. Well, we all know what the papers are like, don't we? I wasn't given my new contract because I had no personality.
They didn't allow
it. I swear. Yeah. Like, what? Everybody knows me. I've got enough personality.
We know that.
You know? So, you know, but people tend to believe what they read in the papers, don't they? They tend to believe it.
So I think the thing for me, the one thing I was keen to speak to you really about, because for me, I haven't heard much from you in the past 30 years. And I'm guessing from that moment where you were told that you had no personality and you're no longer a gladiator, you had to, a bit like the Phoenix, rebuild your life again. So what have you been doing for the last 30 years?
I think I just got on with my life. That's all I did, was get over it and get on with my life. And that's what I've been doing, just having a normal life.
And what is this normal life like?
You know,
what do you
raising
do?
Children.
Yeah.
Yeah. I work with horses, hairdressing. I've done a bit of everything, I think. Yeah. Modelling. I was singing, but after the Gladiators, I was like, I just didn't want to be in the public eye anymore. And so I gave that up and I had a bit of a fallout with the producers because they wanted me to front the songs. And I said, no, I like writing because we wrote the songs together. I'll write, we'll find someone else to sing the songs. I don't want to be on centre stage anymore. I've had a taste of it and I don't want it anymore. But obviously got in contact with them again. So I've started singing again.
Is that fairly recently?
It's only fairly recent, yeah. And I did send you some of the songs that you said were 90s. Oh, yeah.
She's pointing at Paul, by the way.
Yeah, they are 90s because it was a long time ago.
I can remember because the theme tune of Gladiators, Can You Feel the Power of the Gladiators?
Yeah, I loved it.
Was actually sang by a guy called Muff Murphin, who actually wrote it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember the very famous riff for Capital FM. 95.8 Capital FM. And I can't sing, as you know. But that's his voice on there as well. Mm-hmm. And so it was Nigel. Nigel knew I had a performing arts background. And that's how they approached me saying, you can sing. I said, no, I can sing in core. I like like singing with others, not solo at all. So I remember, because I remember when I first met you, you'd mentioned you liked your singing as well. And I can often tell if somebody really can sing by their speaking voice. Mm-hmm. They tend to have a lovely
mastery. I don't know about that with mine.
No. I've tuned my ear into the hearing. Yeah. Owen's a good voice.
And Di, actually, this is probably a question for you now. What impact did Phoenix not returning back for Series 2 have on you? And probably first, actually, what are your memories of Phoenix from Series 1?
A joy for you being in the series with me, because I saw you. I came to watch that bodybuilding, the fitness figure that you were in, because it was fresh in the country as well. And I watched you and I was just mesmerised and blown away. So the sparkles that you brought, it was the glitter you brought out of it.
Yeah,
it was just such a beautiful touch. You obviously had the craft of performing. Yeah. You knew how to hold an audience. Your presence was beautiful and you brought that into the arena. And I absolutely loved that.
I'd have to, like to thank Christine Charles for all of that, though.
Mm. Is that
she was a Miss Universe, she helped me,
And there's the wonderful, magical, triumphant kind of memories as well. And I think, as I'm a bit sort of self-centric with this, because I think we were so in my own world, panicking about getting through the events and being safe, because even the first series, it was quite hard.
It was stressful.
By the time we came back for the second series, it was almost like I'm always the last to know in anything, by the way. I have this wonderful naivety about my life, I suppose, or just thick or slow. Choose your pick. But when we came back, it hadn't occurred to me that you weren't coming back. I hadn't heard that there was 1, 2, 3 of you not coming back. I knew they were looking for other gladiators or more gladiators. Yeah. And so I felt a sadness. And when I heard that you'd all kind of just been told or dismissed.
Yeah.
And then it just felt really weird, because I thought, this is brutal.
It was.
And none of us are safe in any way, shape or form. And it actually added to even more pressure of, you've got to be good. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do what the producers want you to do. And they wanted to see you lose occasionally. But, oh, my God, if you lost too often, it would
be pressure was on.
The pressure's
on. And
really,
like I said,
on.
I don't perform under pressure. If I'm left alone, I'm fine. But when pressure's applied, especially what we were doing... my weight plummeted.
Yeah.
And I stopped eating.
And on hearing you now then of how it did happen, I'm saddened even more actually now with nearly 30 years on. Yeah. So I'm really sorry to hear that. And you've carried that. But you've got through. You've reassembled,
course,
haven't
I'm
you?
Phoenix.
Oh, she's back.
I've rose from the ashes.
And it's been nice as well, looking through the pictures that you brought along with you today. I mean, we'll share a few of these on social media as well, but it's very much behind the scenes, backstage, just seeing both your faces light up as you're sort of recounting the stories. It's been good to reflect and look back, hasn't it?
It is, been in my loft. Several times. Have you got any more pictures? Yes, Paul, I'll get
Producer
in the loft.
Paul is rubbing his hands with glee because he's
I'll
got
get in the loft again. I've been in the loft again, Paul. Have you got any more? No, I'm not going in the loft.
I mean, how many times have you moved in those 30 years to take all that stuff with you?
Hang on, 3 times. Yeah, it was nice to see them, actually, because I hadn't seen them. And some of the stuff got caught in the rain when I was moving. I left it outside. It was raining. Mm. And, you know, but I've salvaged a lot, so.
Claire will have the Phoenix flying up behind her. A wink and a smile. Thank you. That actually belies this powerful frame of our bodybuilding champion, who represented Britain in the Miss Figure Universe this year. Homing in on Rosie is the Jets, the pride of the Northeast.
So this reassembling and you now kind of embracing all aspects of your life, including that
all
period
of it
of
now,
time,
I can now.
Was looking at the photos, because I had to move last year as well, and actually, and I found it pretty hard because the move wasn't a positive
very
experience.
Stressful.
But to see the pictures from my gladiatorial days actually really warmed me, going,
you warmed me,
I can do this. This is a good thing.
This
look at that
thing.
Woman.
She can. If I can do that,
brilliant.
I can move. So, I do. I have nice memories.
Gladiator girl power.
Exactly. Original girl power.
It's true, because we remember the Spice Girls were just literally coming on the scene at exactly the same time.
I've got some nice memories, I have now.
And that's such a wonderful and warm note. Sandy, Phoenix Young, to end on for this one. It would be lovely if you want to come back at some point and share some more stories with us, would you?
Of course, I've got loads, Of course.
Thank you.
So there we have it, Phoenix on Gladpod. And I have to say, I was a bit surprised by the interview as a whole. I wasn't really sure what to expect, because she's never really had many interviews about her time on Gladiators before, has she?
I don't know. I think you're probably right. I always remember that she was, as she said in the interview, she was very, very easily excitable because it was the first series. No one really knew what was going on. And, you know, she was a local girl to the National Indoor Arena as well. So she was like Birmingham's local girl before Lightning joined us, Kim. And I think there was probably a lot on her shoulders. And all these years later, for her to be able to talk about it with great reflection, great fondness, great depth, I found really fascinating.
Yeah, she's definitely turned a corner in her life where she felt she was in the position that she could talk about it. I think clearly the one thing I took away from that was that there have been times when she just wanted to bury her head in the sand and forget all about it, that she even was part of Gladiators.
Yes, exactly. And that's understandable, really, as well. I would imagine for many people who become part of a very large vehicle, a big, big thing like Gladiators, even just for one season, then if it doesn't quite work out in the way that they would have envisaged, then... yeah, it would take quite a bit to get past. But, you know, if you're talking about a couple of decades and a bit, you have that time to reflect and look back. And you know what? It came over to me that she's still so fond of her relationship with the show and her memories.
Yeah, and I didn't realise the story about how sort of the fire that gave Phoenix her name. I mean, did you guys ever talk about how your names came about? Or were you just like, yeah, hi, I'm Cobra, hi, I'm Phoenix? You didn't... I mean, there was a story behind her name, which I thought was brilliant.
It was. It was a good story as well. No, mine was Andy Norgate, who was our producer, assistant producer at the time. He, on the day where you had like days when you had answer phone machines, I came in from teaching from work one day, and my then partner Carlo said, "There's an interesting message. I think you've got to listen to it." And it was, "Hi, it's Andy Norgate from LWT. Can you call me back?" So I called him back, and he went, "Yeah, well, we'd like you to be one of our gladiators." I didn't know quite what to make of that. "And we're going to call you Jet." I remember there was just this palpable silence in my spare room at the time, and I just thought, oh, tumbleweed moment. I thought, well, I'm not particularly dark with my hair, and I don't think I was that fast, but apparently they did say that during the tryouts I was quite speedy across some of the events. So I think that's how mine was born. But I think, like with many of the others that we get chance to speak to, we can maybe fully inspect that. I know Vogue, Susie, wanted to be called Jade, and instead they called her Vogue in the end, which just perfectly suits her. And I'm not sure how many of the others were given much of a choice. I think they had like a list of names, and they were kind of delegated at the time to see, you know, who was closest to what the name would describe.
And I think actually when we spoke to Rebel as well, it was a case that they had a new cohort of gladiators coming in and had kind of a list of names, and it seems like they actually tried to match the name with the gladiator as opposed to, you know, the other way around, which I think it works well. And one thing, I don't know if you ever had this, but one thing I did take from that chat as well with Phoenix was the helmet hair. She never wanted to take off her helmet. What was it, you know, because we obviously bum sticks has been a constant thing throughout this, but was helmet hair another issue for you girls?
I think it was. I think when you've spent 30 seconds to a minute with full-on anaerobic athleticism and in a very hot arena, yes, we weren't wearing very much, so you could keep quite cool, but you know, it was a very sweaty thing to gladiate, as any high level fitness or sport would dictate, so your body's natural response. So whenever, and it is in fact how my Jet hair flick came about, because when you pulled off either one of the big firm helmet or the padded helmets that we predominantly used because they were very light, you'd have like your hair stuck across your face and everywhere. So I literally would just put my head upside down, I'm almost doing it now on the mic, and then flick my hair back without having to touch it, because often we had gloves on as well. So basically how you took your helmet off was what you were left with, and you didn't have much of an option at that point, because quite often on the back of any event Ulrika would be straight in there with her microphone, straight into an interview off the back. So there wasn't time for a little hair and makeup. wasn't a thing. So I think both boys and girls, we all had to have helmet hair and just do the best we could with it. I remember Sandy Phoenix, yes, maybe she had this beautiful afro, curly, gorgeous, luscious hair. And I think she probably found that harder to deal with because obviously the hair's really thick and just stunning. And it was having that sort of big, massive hair that she liked, which went with her look, that would have been far more difficult to kind of coordinate than some of the others.
And is that how you said about the jet hair flick came about? So Did after a while someone say, it's really good when you do that hair flick?
Yeah, and it was completely just a practical thing rather than anything else, because my hair would just be stuck to my face across my makeup and everything. And instead of kind of like trying to use a shoulder or a padded gloved hand to pull it away from the face, then red lipstick all the way across your face. I mean, there wasn't any wiggle room at all. It would just be literally head down, head straight back, and it would be off my face then, ready for an interview. And I think some of the other girls had to do very similar things. But so it wasn't a thing. It was inadvertent, and it was more through practicality than anything else.
But it's something that stuck with a lot of people for a long time, and you still very much get asked to it to this day. Now, there was in terms of sort of the memories of stuff, I was very impressed with Phoenix as to how she remembered things from so long ago, particularly as she wanted to, as we were saying about wanting to bury her head in the sand, and that story about her bringing comfort to the dying boy. And you know, as soon as I mentioned it, she knew name, she took herself right back to that place. And there was a side to being a gladiator, and I think we've touched on it quite a few times, and just getting out there and being part of that fan's life, you know, and granting them their final wish.
Yes, particularly during that first year, we did a few visits to various hospitals across Birmingham, and she did make a very close bond with a beautiful young boy, and he touched all of us. He had cancer, and she maintained that contact, obviously, we now know. And that really moved me, actually, because it's kind of something when you're part of a big family or a kids show like Lads, that you do form bonds and you are being seen to be doing that sort of work. But for her, it became a genuine bond and something she saw through for the rest of this young man's life.
Yeah, and as always, let us know what you took away from our chat with Phoenix, because often, you know, Di and I, we talk after the interview and we talk about the bits that struck us. But actually what I found is that on Facebook and Twitter and email and Instagram, we've been getting messages from you saying, well, actually what I took away from that was X or Y. And it's stuff that we either had heard but hadn't perhaps recognised the importance of it or whatever. So as always, we'd love to hear from you. Email is thegladpod@gmail.com.
And of course, Twitter @thegladpod and Facebook, the same thing. Be lovely to hear your stories too.
And we'll see you again next week. And as always, here's John Sachs.
Good competition, good spirit, great sportsmanship as both contenders show mutual respect. Join us again next week for the ultimate challenge, the might of...